And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. I am putting on a brave face, and I am trying to muster all of the excitement that I possibly can to be here with you today, because I am sitting in a fucking icebox called New York City. It is blizzarding all around me. It is absolutely miserable outside. I am missing being on the road with my friends and my bandmates in Skullcaster. We just got back to New York City like moments ago, basically, from a month-long time being on the road, a little tour we did on the West Coast and the Southwest, and the very delightful temperatures of California and Arizona. It was absolutely very nice over there, and I come home, and it's a fucking blizzard, and it's terrible to be home. But I'm going to fight through all that melancholy and do this rad show because we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. And hopefully none of my melancholia or whatever the word is that I don't really understand comes through because there is a bunch of cool shit to talk about. Plus, the capitalists, the mainstream, they all want us to be negative about what's happening. They want us to see the worst in people. They want us to view our past and present and our future in such a negative light. And I'm going to be positive. I'm going to look at the positive things. It's a brand new year. It's 2018. There's like a whole future of possibilities just waiting for us to go and accomplish them and to not be, you know, burnt out about the bad things that happened. So I'm going to stay positive. Really, it's like everyone is summing up 2017. Obviously, all this horrible shit happened in 2017. I don't want to whitewash that shit with, pleasantries and flowers and daisies and such. But I do think we need to balance our very real negative assessment of where things are headed and what happened in 2017, which we're all, I think most people listening to this podcast know very well, the horrible things that happened, the emergence of misogyny and racism on a whole new level. You know, things, the racism and the misogyny that have been bubbling under the surface for so long, just because of Trump in a lot of ways and because of other things that are going on, busted through the surface and became the forefront and have been leading like sort of like hordes of backward pieces of shit into the streets to, you know, shove women back into the past and shove black and brown people out of the way of America's future. I mean, it's really just terrible, all the things that have happened. But I do want to say, I think one thing that this show needs to do, and one thing we need to do as punks and as people who are being conscious, is to try to assess all of the different sides of things and not just get stuck in, you know, the direction the mainstream wants us to head. And I think the mainstream wants conscious people to look at 2017 and say, wow, we really got beat up this year. And we did. But don't forget that we need to realize what happened in the underground side of things, things that weren't covered by the mainstream media as much. This year started off with one of the largest marches in American history, the Women's March that happened actually completely against Trump's inauguration. This year was marked by huge protests against people who have got cities who have erected Confederate statues. People have been trying to pull them down and steal flags and sort of uproot some of the horrible history that this country has rooted inside of it in confronting some of the Confederate past. And because of that, you've had huge waves of wonderful movements of black empowerment in this country, which have done a great thing. We've had mainstream cultural figures actually come out against the racism that has been ingrained in this country. You have Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers and tons of football players taking a knee and protesting the racism that's ingrained so deeply in this country. You've had huge demonstrations against the police and the racism, the institutionalized racism that they've committed and the horrible crimes they commit every day in imprisoning black and brown people and murdering them without ever having to see the light of a prison cell. So, you know, all these things happen. Plus, not only that, But, you know, in the end of the year, we've seen this wave of cultural figures and political figures come out against the misogyny that is perpetuated in corporate America and in Hollywood America, about the rampant fucked up misogyny that gets pushed onto women every day in the society through you know, sexual pressure and through people using power to manipulate other women. I mean, you have seen this year some of, despite the fact that we have the most openly misogynistic president in generations, you have seen waves of women feel empowered enough by the people around them and the underground around them and whomever else to come out and battle against that. And it actually has been a pretty amazing year for people of conscience, people who want to empower those who've been disempowered by this system, people who want to disempower the system from crushing the people around the world and people right here at home. It's been a pretty impressive year, despite of our huge setbacks, but huge setbacks, I should say. I do think that the future is bright for people of conscience, what I call the underground. And, you know, that's the perspective we need to have. So, figuratively speaking, that's what we're talking about. And, you know, figuratively speaking, I'm surrounded by cold, miserable weather and wish I could be on the road again. But the future is bright and there are wonderful things to talk about. So I will try to be a little more objective and not be a Debbie Downer, as my father used to call me. But there are wonderful things happening and we're going to talk about those. And that's what we do here on the show. We try to take a look at the things that are going on in the underground, the movements, the activism, the punk scene, the musical scene that's filled with passion and heart. We try to focus on those and find the best of the best, the stories, the insights, the whatevers, and pull them out and just hopefully remind us all what it's like to be in the underground and not caught up in this mainstream bullshit. And on the flip side, we try to take a look at the mainstream, the ugliness, the nastiness, the stuff that we all too often get wrapped up in. And we try to, like, see, is there anything good in there? Are there any kernels of goodness that have come through that mainstream? Let's pluck them out. Let's keep them. And then let's shit on the rest. And I think we do a pretty good job on the podcast today. Today's going to be about touring. Today's episode is going to be about tour life. My band Skullcaster just got back from the most DIY of DIY tours. We did not have a mainstream accompanying band that took us out on this long tour, although we did play a couple of days with Days and Days down in Texas, which was a huge help for us because Days and Days, obviously, for those of you who know, is an incredible band with a huge following. So that was a big help for us, with which is a band that has no name, really, that no one's ever really heard of. And so that was really nice. But for the most part, even those shows were all booked by Whitney from Days and Days. So it was super DIY. We all did this ourselves with the help of good friends in the cities that we went to. And so we're going to take a look at DIY touring, deep down underground touring here in the punk scene, and the connections that we had all across the country who helped us get this done. Skullcaster just got back, and my friends Ryan and Nicole were with me the entire last month, all of December, and we drove from New York City to Portland, and then Portland, we went all the way down through California, down to San Diego, and then we went across all the way to Houston, and then Ryan and I drove all the way back by ourselves. We've been around the entire country, basically, in this past month. Over 10,000 miles, and we have some fucked up stories to talk about. We have some funny shit. We have some good things to recap, and Ryan and Nicole are going to help me sort of summarize all of that, and our good friend Lauren, who's been on the show many, many times, and she's going to come in here and hopefully help direct some of the conversation so that I don't just get to talking, which I sometimes do. So that's going to be the first part of the episode, and in the second part of the episode, after we talked a ton of shit and all the dumb stories of our travels and being on the road, we're going to talk about what could have happened on the road and what, honestly, to me, I think is the best mainstream depiction of DIY touring that I've ever seen in a film. We're going to talk about the movie Green Room, and I think in the first 10 minutes of Green Room, which is a mainstream movie that came out maybe 2-3 years ago, I can't remember exactly. And it's about a punk band. It's centered around a punk band that's touring in the Portland area, which we just did. And in the first 10 minutes of the film, you really get a good depiction of what tour life is. I think it's pretty sobering and pretty horrible. And for those of you out there who are interested in doing DIY tours, I think it's a pretty good little snapshot of where things are at. And then things take a turn for the worse, and they get confronted by a horrible situation which they find themselves in, which they put themselves in, actually. We're going to talk about all that. There are going to be some spoilers in that second part for Green Room, but it's not going to ruin the movie, I promise you. If you know, I knew everything about this film. People have been telling me to watch Green Room for years, ever since it first came out. The dudes in Leftover Crack kept telling me to watch Green Room, and I'm like, man, punk band being confronted and surrounded by a bunch of Nazis, that does not sound like a film that I really want to watch. That sounds kind of like a life that I've all too often lived. I'm not really super interested in living a fantasy of that. But I did. I watched it, and it was about as terrible as I thought it would be in terms of causing anxiety and fear and apprehension. Even if you know everything about the film, which I knew going in, the movie is still absolutely terrifying, and I promise will make you shake and weep and freak out. So we might have some spoilers, but you're still gonna appreciate the movie the same amount you did. So we're gonna talk about the movie in the second half and all the potential horrors and dangers of being DIY touring band and being surrounded by Nazis, and some fucked up stories in the past that I find sort of similar. There's a couple of analogous situations I found myself in and some tours. We'll get to that in a minute. But we're going to talk about touring. Today's episode is all about DIY touring to the nth degree. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you're going to dig it. And even if you're not, there's some funny fucking stories in there that I think you're going to have a good time listening to. And there's always a ton of shit talk. So we got your back if you're into the shit talking. I do want to say thank you to everybody who helped Skullcaster out on this last tour. The DIY touring wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for friends helping friends. And I just can't say enough for all of the bands and folks in all of the cities that we went to who helped us out. They didn't make a single dime off of these shows. They only help us because they care about us, and they care about the music, and they care about the scene they're part of, and they know that we're going to bring some good tunes. And everybody in every city did us so much justice, and I can't say enough. I get a little like sensitive thinking about how wonderful of the subculture we have and the underground we have is, and it only exists because other people realize and help each other out. I'm not going to take a bunch of time in the podcast to thank everybody, but I do want to shout at Whitney from Days and Days Again. Whitney went out of her way and booked 5 dates for us in Texas, and Days went with us, and it was just a huge burden on them, and I appreciate it so much, and I'm guaranteed they did not make the money they deserve on those shows, and they helped us out and get through that so much. So thank you so much to Days and Days, and Whitney especially, and everybody in all of the towns that we visited. So many promoters and bands were just so good to us. People who we'd never met before and still did a solid because they knew of us and our other bands, or they knew folks who knew other folks who knew us. So not only that, but there's also people who just put us up and people we met who just let us stay at their places. The underground is vibrant. You know, people say punk is dead. I don't know what the fuck that means. It's so dumb because we just did a tour, and the underground is vibrant and full of incredible people who have a ton of heart, who hate this system and want a better world, and are making it every day they make decisions. So super proud to be part of the scene. The rest of the podcast, we are going to talk about that DIY spirit and those DIY shows. And I'm going to play bands. The whole podcast, I'm going to play bands that we saw and played with on the road, and some of the best bands we dug. And I think you're all going to dig those bands as much as I did. I want to make a couple shout-outs other than this tour real quick. I want to shout-out to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for all the incredible programming they do. Dispatch of Semi Underground airs every Wednesday night on Real Punk Radio. So if you want to hear us there, go over there and check it out. You can also always check us out on our website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's a donation page. There's a whole merch section. We sell a bunch of merch, not only for Skullcaster, the band that you're going to be hearing us talk about on the show, but also my other bands, All Torn Up, Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters. We have some Days and Days. We have a Days and Days shirt up there for people who are looking into that. There's a ton of stuff up there, so go check out the merch section. There's an archive section that we just put up, so you can go back through all of the episodes for the past years and years and years and find some of the good stuff. There's some episodes with Days and Days on there. There's some great episodes, Leftover Crack. We just did that one last episode with with Dick Lucas from the Subhumans. So go check all those episodes out. They are all free. Always free. Dispatch Me Underground is a free podcast. You can make a donation. There's a donation spot on the page, but it's always free. And hopefully, through listening, you become a little more conscious. You become a little more reflective. You come a little more fired up about this punk scene and start doing this shit yourself, because that's what it's all about, DIY or die. So let's get to it. This is Lauren, Ryan, and Nicole, and myself all shit-talking about tour and DIY lifestyle. We're going to listen to a tune, and then we're going to get to the conversation. Get down. All right, we're going to listen to some tunes from some bands that we heard along this tour, this most recent Skullcaster tour. First, I want to start with the first show we played in Portland. It was put on by our good friend Jay Crash, who is in a bunch of great bands, including Dirty Kid Discount and Ground Score, and we're going to hear more from them in a minute. But I want to start off with a band that I had never heard of before that was probably, of all the bands that we played with that I had never heard of before, this band dropped my jaw more than anybody else. I really fucking dug them, and it's sort of like, it's more my style, it's more my taste of music. It's sort of like the metal side of punk and hardcore, and I just really dug them. This is a band called Broken Dead. They're from Eugene, Oregon. I believe they're doing a U.S. tour March or April, and I strongly encourage anybody who listens in to go check out their music and get down with them as quickly as possible, because they are fucking amazing. It's called Broken Dead. They're from Eugene, Oregon. So here they are. Get down. What's up? I'm here with Lauren, Nicole, and the Poop Shoes, Ryan Collin. What's
up? Wow. We're going to start off with Poop Shoes.
We're going to start off right away with Poop Shoes over here. Nicole and Ryan and I just got back from a month on the road together. Feels like a year, kind of.
We did a lot of stuff. Yeah. We did 365 days of stuff.
No, yeah, we did. That's true. We did 365 days worth of stuff in 1 month. 1 month road trip. The three of us drove for a month together from New York City to Portland and then down through Texas and then back home to New York City as part of the Skullcaster West Coast Southwest tour.
Woo!
That we just did. None of the other members of Skullcaster are present with us at the moment, because they're all like lounging around, typical Skullcaster shit. But Nicole and Ryan are here with me and Lauren, who's going to be guiding us on this. You're like our host today.
Well, somewhat, yeah. I'll still let you take most of the responsibility.
I probably will cut in a lot.
I was going to say, I don't think I have a choice.
But so we got back from this tour. I thought we'd talk some shit about how the tour went, sort of. What's your summation?
So I want to know your favorite parts and your least favorite parts about traveling with each other. Specifically.
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
Favorite parts of this trip or in general travel?
Because she's trying to get personal between us right now.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't there, so I want to feel like I was there.
Should we start with Nicole? Should we start with you? Should we just have it be Nicole?
She is giving Joey a death stare right
Does
now.
Does not want to talk on the show. Yeah. I mean, least favorite parts, I feel like acts like very heavy. I feel like we could do a lot of podcasting
okay, well,
about that.
I just
that.
Want one, not parts. Ooh. Part two. Yeah.
I'll say that it was really, I'm really happy with the tour overall. I don't know. You guys can think of what you want to say here for story-wise, but I think the tour overall went very, very well. You know, we got a really good response. People really dug Skullcaster. All the towns we played in, from fucking Portland down through Houston. Everyone, we met so many fucking cool people. We played so many cool bands. On the rest of the podcast, we're going to be playing bands that we played with all over the country. So that's who you'll be hearing while you listen to this podcast. But it was fucking really good. Like, I mean, overall, summation-wise, I think it was a success. First tour with Skullcaster, I'm pretty happy with it.
Okay, that's great, but you didn't answer a single one of my questions.
I didn't. I'm giving people time to think about it, though. What do you think?
I think Lauren's a great host, first of all, because she's really getting down to the bottom.
Cool, I'll see you guys in hell. Thanks for getting down with me, motherfucker.
So I am the new main host of Dispatches from the Underground.
All right, fine. We'll come back to my main summation later. Then Ryan, fucking do it, dude. What's your favorite part of the shit? Other than me. Other than just spending time in my presence.
No, what was the question again? Because no, I think we got off the question.
We got way off the question. I just wanted to know your favorite part of traveling with each other and then your least favorite part of traveling with each other.
Oh, man. Well, favorite part for me definitely was hanging out with both these guys because it was a blast for me. Just, you know, I've known Nicole for not very long.
Maybe
but
15 days.
Yeah.
Before we left.
You know, Nicole and I have crossed paths a couple times, but Joey and I have been friends for a long time, so it was 20 really
20 plus years.
Yeah, and like spending time with them, you know, it was such a blast. Like we had so much fun just goofing off the entire time.
Right. Any specific story you can give me?
The fart story. I feel like you most enjoyed the fart story.
Which one is the fart story?
Exactly. Is there more than one fart story?
There's more than one fart story. We were in, we were in L.A. We were in L.A., and I was, as usual, just disgusted by all of you guys and your lack of decisiveness. And I decided, as usual, could be pretty much any day, your lack of decisiveness and my hunger. And I was like, I got to eat immediately right now at this fucking moment. And we were downtown L.A., waiting for everyone to show up for the show. And so I just went into like this disgusting salad place and ate some horrible salad. And Jason went in and pooped. And it was another day of just Jason taking a shit on the band. And you guys were like just like meandering. Like basically you had basically set up tent on like essentially on Skid Row. Like basically you were just like fucking setting up a tent on Skid Row, like homelessing out on the fucking on the strip. And I came back, ate my salad, and you guys were just indecisive. And then finally, this fart game started. Do you remember this?
Oh, the fart game you had to have on the radio,
it
too.
Wasn't
it
me.
Was so
it
loud.
Was Jason. Jason from Skullcaster and All Torn Up. Was it you who started it? No, it was definitely Jason who started it. And people were walking by, and you were playing the fart thing. Who was doing it?
Nicole says it's me. She's not mic'd, and she said she didn't want to talk. But I guess I did the... To everyone that walked by, including possibly
some mentally ill. Christine might have known him, actually. Some mentally ill people were walking by in downtown L.A., and you were just, we had this, like, fart machine, this, like, automatic fart machine that Nicole bought for, like, $3 at a fucking, like, a Walmart or a Kmart or something, and you were just sticking it out the window and making it fart sounds. All these innocent people just rolling by on their fucking day, and you were just making fart sounds, and they all just, like, sort of smiled or smirked or grimaced as they walked by. And it was uncomfortable at first. But then we had the idea to like supercharge it.
Yeah, it was loud. It worked. And I mean, some people, they thought there was some...
Nicole, bring it up on your phone. We'll just fucking play it right on the phone right now. So then I had the idea to supercharge it since it wasn't loud enough. And I hooked my phone up to the car stereo. Mm-hmm. And I just found fucking fart sounds on YouTube. And we were, or it wasn't even fart, it was like shit sounds. I don't even know what it was. And we were just blasting this shit, like really, really loud.
Just to passersby.
And it was it was hilarious and stupid, which is kind of perfect for our tour. I feel like it really encapsulates.
I feel like I know pretty much everybody that was on the tour, so I would agree with that.
Yeah, that pretty much sums us up. So these sounds you're about to hear are the sounds of us in preparing for our set in downtown LA at the Five Star Bar. Huge shout out to Nacho from Corrupted Youth, by the way, for putting that show on for us, and our good friends Al and Wade from Lady Hump for fucking playing that show. Awesome show. Also, by the way, there was a great band. Nicole, what was the name of that band we played with in LA? Was it Rhode Island? Rhode Island LA. Sluts.
Oh yeah, Rhode Island Sluts. That was LA. It's a Dumb and Dumber reference.
Well, I don't think it's that dumb reference. It's pretty smart, I think.
All right, so I think so, that's all you're gonna hear.
Great fucking band. Great. So this is on Nicole's phone. This is her taking a video of us in LA. Okay, alright. That video goes on for like 12 minutes. So
that was extremely childish, by the way. I was not a part of that video.
I mean, fucking Tori's like pretty much 75% farting. Nicole, would you say that's a decent gauge of like 75% yes. farting, 12% pooping, like 10%
more
music?
Pooping, though.
Oh, more pooping?
Yeah.
You pull the fucking microphone away from
Poudini,
like a
and what is it? Sir Poops a Lot? What did you call Jason?
Sir Poops a Lot, yeah.
Sir Poops a Lot and Poudini.
Jason from Skullcaster and All Torn Up, and Jerry, who is a drummer from Skullcaster, they have a fucking bowel problem. Like, they have some intestinal issues.
And now you all know.
Oh, and
they might have a healthy digestive system. It's hard to say. It's hard to gauge. Right? But they're pooping all the time. Like, they eat and they immediately have to poop. And Jerry from Skullcaster, lovely man, wonderful human being, great humanitarian, poops a lot. Every time you turn around, you're like, where's Jerry? Pooping.
But so, how can we forget about Cullum?
So we call him
but
Cullum, the Great Poudini, because he would always disappear and he had to poop. Cullum,
but,
yeah.
But how would you forget about Cullum? Didn't he poop in a stand-up urinal?
That's not entirely his fault, though.
Was that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, Jerry was taking a dump at, I believe we were at a fucking Fred Meyer's, which is a food chain in, like, Oregon. And I think I was actually just getting out of the urgent care. I was literally in the hospital at the time.
Okay.
And Jerry was taking a dump, and he was taking forever, and Callum had to go, and there was only one stall. So Jerry took a dump in the urinal, which isn't the weirdest part.
But Callum took a dump in the urinal.
Right? Callum took a dump in the urinal.
I thought it was a Scottish thing, actually, right?
It's not a Scottish thing. That was pretty racist. But the uncomfortable part about it is that Jason took a video of it.
Oh.
So he's videotaping a man taking a dump in the urinal when other people are coming in to the bathroom. And that was uncomfortable.
I cannot imagine what they were thinking when they walked into that bathroom.
Yeah. I'm sure they thought there's some pornography being shot.
Well, I mean, I'm sure to some people that would be.
He tried to flush it and then it worked.
Yeah.
I honestly just feel terrible for the person that then had to clean that.
No, well, Callum tried to deal with it, but couldn't. To his credit, he made a valiant effort to deal with it. You got to go, you got to go.
I understand.
You know, better than going in your pants.
There's outside.
Someone's got to clean that shit, too. We're going to leave it for the deer? Wow, dude. Leave it for the deer.
Well,
I'm comfortable.
That was excessive.
It was basically a month of bathroom moments, you know.
I feel like everybody's
vomit,
tour is that pretty much that way.
Vomit, oh, yeah. Poop,
I'm going to go ahead and
urine.
Say that was my least favorite moment.
Oh.
I have a lot of least favorite moments, Lauren.
Ooh.
But when Ryan, we were in San Diego playing with a great band, Skull Pins. Shout out to the San Diego Pirate Punks for hooking us up with that show. Good crew of folks. Had a fun show. Great fucking venue, the Bancroft in San Diego. Super cool venue. Love the bartender. Love the owner. Were really good to us. Luckily, when all the Chinese food plays across the street, Avoid.
Yeah, that
don't
was
get
a
fucking
scary
Chinese
part.
Food in San Diego, California. Not a good idea. Sorry about that to the restaurant, but I hope they don't drop us as a fucking as a sponsor, dude.
Was that your main sponsor for
the
tour?
Yeah. It's a Chinese place. It's fucking
totally fucked
San
up
Diego.
Then.
So we go, we leave, and Ryan is done. I mean, he's just obliterated. Like, can't walk, can't speak, fucking passed out in the front seat, completely passed out.
Ryan looks confused right now, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah, we missed a whole part of the story. I mean, basically, we're in San Diego. Right, and there's Chinese food over across the street, but there's no other food, and I didn't go to get food. But what I did get was, I think, Cheetos and Chex Mix for
dinner.
That's
food, actually, but fine.
Oh, combos, correct. Yeah.
It was combos and Chex Mix, yep.
Yeah, combos and Chex Mix. But
and apparently, once you've had enough whiskey.
Well, whiskey and that combination with a little bit of beer. Yeah.
And when combos, when you throw up that, it actually comes out as nacho cheese.
I can actually vouch for that because I accidentally saw it in my Facebook feed because they decided to share that with like everybody.
It was a beautiful photo.
It was fucked up.
It was a beautiful photo.
I had to do a double take, so I'm like, that looks fake. It was literally like fluorescent.
What people don't appreciate on these in these situations and all this bullshit that we're talking about, you know, the troubles and trials and tribulations of a band on tour, is that somebody needs to clean all of these situations up. Whether it be the guy Fred Myers, that poor guy is getting paid at least. My fucking bullshit, I gotta clean up Ryan's vomit off the side of the fucking van with a fucking squeegee. They're calling the cops, dude. Like, these people are fucking, we're in a shady situation. They're definitely calling the cops on us. We drive across the street. We fucking clean the van off. We fucking leave as fast as possible. We immediately drive to the most disgusting taco place that we could find and order as many tacos as possible.
Yes.
Half of which delicious. Half of which almost certainly rotten meat. Like, almost certainly. Like, you had to pick the fucking maggots off this meat. Really brutal shit.
These are not small exaggerations at all, sir. I mean,
these are fucking really, the worst tacos in San Diego, California.
So San Diego doesn't have any good food, apparently, or
Ryan,
they
I'm sure
able
they
to
do.
Find it.
Not 4 in the morning.
In the morning. Okay, yeah. I don't know the time.
But Ryan proceeds to eat like 6 fucking tacos from this place, and after he had just thrown up everything he's eaten the entire day, and yeah, it's all going downhill. Do we even have a place to stay that night? What did we do? I don't remember what we did.
I don't know, but those tacos were delicious. That's all I know. I don't know.
Is that the whiskey talking?
No, I mean, after I threw up, you know, I was pretty sober after that. I mean, I got rid of everything there. But those tacos were delicious.
Yeah, that's my worst moment, is I think that. But it's not just that moment, Lauren. It's the constant herding of kittens that is like moving drunk, super drunk people through the process of like leaving a venue and like finding a place to sleep. It's just infuriating.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, the sober guy should not be in charge after the show. After the show, a drunk person needs to be in charge, because only a drunk person could tolerate other drunk people. I really wanted to hurt people, like a lot of time. A lot of the time I wanted to injure them. Callum is a professional. Callum, if people don't know, Callum plays bass in what's the name of our bass? Skullcaster. But he also in Phobia, and he was in Paloi and like all these other big bands. So he's a professional. The guy handles his drink and moves and is able to get things done. The rest of his crew, until the show's over, mm-hmm. everything's great. Then the show's over, and it's just like a fucking meltdown, dude. Meltdown. Nicole, don't you agree with us? Do you agree?
No.
75% of the time you were passed out in the van.
So
moment.
She just missed it.
Yeah.
Strategically.
Only for those like 5 shows, not before that though.
Yeah. Yeah. The last 5 shows we did with Days and Days in Texas. And shout out to Days and Days, especially Whitney, who helped us so much in Texas. Huge, huge help. We really appreciate it. And the last 5 shows were definitely the most chaotic and like crazy and just most people. So those shows, Nicole, she dipped her toes into some ugly business. is that your favorite show? Is that Corpus Christi your favorite show?
I'm not sure.
When we stayed in that crazy house.
Oh, that was a pretty cool house.
You want to try to explain
that house? Tell me
about this house. I think Ryan should explain it.
I don't think that's
boy.
True.
Yeah, well, it was a crazy house. It was cool. I think it was supposed to be a nursing home or something.
I think it was a church, honestly.
So like it used to be a church and then now somebody lives there?
I think it was a church and then probably a nursing home and now someone lives there, Nicole.
Yeah.
I I think Brooke's family was trying to make it into a nursing home, but then they never finished doing it. So then it was just their like house, but it was like a compound. It was giant.
It's like shout a out, half nursing
shout
home.
Out to Brooke who housed us for the night. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a compound. It was a compound in Texas. It was basically Waco, but it was in Corpus Christi.
It was a beautiful house. It had like a whole wraparound thing, and it was super old.
Our
it
drummer,
was like,
Jerry, got lost for literally 15 minutes in the house trying to find the upstairs. It was embarrassing. Hilarious and embarrassing.
And like it's like a famous house because everyone there from Corpus Christi like knew that house.
Yeah, it was like a lot of serial killers probably lived in this house.
I mean, it sounds like you can't really miss it. So if you live there, you know what house it is.
Yeah. It is terrifying. I immediately went in. Had a good time with everybody, and I was like, I am sleeping in the fucking van. Someone's going to get murdered here, 100%.
So you slept in the van rather than in the compound?
Oh, yes. Slept in the van.
Yeah.
Slept in the van most nights, Lauren. I can't. These guys have snoring fucking problems, dude.
I guess I have a snoring problem.
Yeah.
I've actually heard that already about you.
Oh, really?
But the house was weird. It was. We took videos of some of the things there. It was pretty weird. A lot of Hello Kitty stuff.
Mm.
A lot of clowns. And the place looks like a church.
Yeah, it was a cool house.
It was terrifying.
All right,
wonderful
afterwards
people.
You're going to have to show me some of these videos.
Wonderful people. Terrifying house. Yeah, that was, what do you think? That was your favorite place in Corpus Christi? The vape shop we played in Corpus Christi? No, Nicole doesn't give a fuck. all right. Ryan, tell us your favorite story or least favorite story. We got to wrap this segment up.
Okay, I had a blast with Days and Days, too. They were great hosts, or, you know, those were my favorite shows. And they're just, you know, all the bands you played with, everyone I met, they're
so
rad.
This is not
a
story. These are just people.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I'm happy you had fun, but I want to hear
you really enjoyed the trap show we played.
That was more Jason. Jason was way into that trap show.
Yeah.
But who got a pee? I don't know. No, who got beef? I got beef.
We played a show.
That was
It's an inside joke that they're telling you right there. We played a show. Well, this is our last story. We'll say for this. We played some really great shows, some amazing punk bands. But the second show we played was in Redmond, Oregon. Our homeboys in Redmond hooked us up with the show. Really appreciate the Redmond Pirate Punks and the band Pirate Punks for hooking us up. Brother Joe hooked us up with that show. Fucking dude from Rash. Good dude. Fucking doing great shit over there. But we get there, it's at a pizza place, it's fucking super chill pizza place, had a lot of fun at the pizza place, but the other band playing, like the three bands, one is a punk band playing before, super cool dudes, and the other one is like a hip-hop kid, like white, mostly white trap musicians. I don't know if people know what trap is, but it's like hip-hop, but not Tupac. It's not really Tupac, I don't know how you describe that.
No,
Ryan.
It's not Tupac,
They were young. They were in high school, I think.
Fair, yeah.
It was a young crowd that night.
Yeah. We were playing in a pizza place, though. Yeah. So, I mean, you really can't.
Which was great pizza, by the way. And they had good beer there.
I was actually going to ask how the pizza was.
Yeah, the pizza was great. And
the kids were cool. Super fun show.
Yeah, super
but
fun.
But it was weird because everyone was there for the trap show. And it was like fucking, you know, between 12-year-olds and 16-year-olds at this show, and they were all there for the trap show. Like 60 kids there for the trap show. No one was interested in the fact that there was punk bands on the bill.
Did you play before or after the trap show?
Oh, we were luckily enough to play before.
Okay,
them.
So you were able to at least like corrupt the.
There was a
the
lot
youth.
Of kids there, and then like some kids started dancing. Like some of the kids who were even playing later started dancing. Like they dug it. They had a
I mean,
good
that's
time.
Awesome.
Super cool. Loved it.
Like, you know, especially in New York. Kids don't even get to go to most shows. So.
For sure. And it was fucking like a Sunday night. Like, it's cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was cool, but it was also extremely weird.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like you almost have to open up for exclusively like trap bands.
I would fucking do a tour of that for sure. After this, I didn't really know what that music was until this show. And I would do a fucking tour of just opening up for that shit. That was a blast.
All right. So you all heard that. If any of you guys are in like trap groups, get a hold of Joey Steele.
Yep. Skullcaster / trap bands all day. Fucking 2018 world tour. Let's get it done. Get down. I want to play a band here that we played with two times on this tour. I'd never heard of them before, but I was really excited to hear them. When we heard them first in Corpus Christi, I dug the hell out of them. It's very rare that I take a video of a band that I'm seeing on tour because most of the time I'm just you know, you get overwhelmed with the amount of music that comes at you. And I found myself videotaping this band because I really dug some of their tunes and their style and the way they held themselves. It was a lot of fun. This band was called The Inspected. We played with them in Corpus Christi, and we played with them in San Antonio. Super fun band, super cool dudes, really, really great punk tunes. Anybody who's into punk, I think, is going to be really into these guys. Really, really crisp sound. And they were holding it down DIY style. So I really appreciated that a ton. And I will say that San Antonio show, it was put on by Ed Ask. It was a great show. Had a great time in it. There was a band on that show whose name I don't remember. For good reason, they were absolutely terrible. Not this band, but there's another band. And I remember watching them. I think it was one of the first bands. And the lead singer got up there and literally said, "Anybody who comes up here and hits me, the person who comes up here and hits me the hardest gets a free T-shirt." And I'm like, and I turned to Ryan and Nicole. I'm like, did that dude just tell us to come up there and hit him? Because I'm super in. Let's do this. And we couldn't tell if that's true, but people kept going up to him and punching him in the face. And that dude got the shit kicked out of him. I'll say this: that dude could take a punch, or maybe these guys weren't hitting him very hard, but and his band was terrible, but fucking entertaining as hell watching a dude get punched in the face repeatedly while he played. I didn't go up and do it because I wasn't sure if it was like a joke, and I didn't want to like decapitate this kid. And he was young. He was a very young dude. So I didn't want any charges when I was in San Antonio. But I want to encourage this kid to keep doing that stage presence while he plays, because that was definitely the best part of his set. Anyway, that was a digression about a show that we played with this band, but it wasn't this band. This is The Inspected. I am not sure what town they're actually from, but I'm pretty sure they're from Texas. So here's The Inspected from Texas. Get down. Eight shots of whiskey, while on the ground. So many people standing round and round. I like to party, I like to drink. I've been seeing your kitchen sink. Okay, let's go back. We're going to talk a little bit about tour dangers. We're going to talk about Green Room in a second, but I want to start with Nicole because we're talking about like one of our favorite shows. All of those Texas shows were amazing. San Antonio was definitely like one of my favorite shows. Dallas was one of my favorite shows. Shout out to Ed Ask from the San Antonio show, who did a great job booking that show. It was a super fun show. But you were saying Austin was one of your favorite shows.
Austin was like a house show. It was in the garage of the house. I don't know. It was pretty cool. It was the only house show you said that you did.
It feels more comfortable playing houses. Like house shows just feel the most natural to me because it's where we're from and what we
do. Yeah, like that's kind of how you grow up, at least, you know, in the punk scene as a kid, because you can't get it anywhere.
What did you...
Joey was kind of tortured the whole time because he had to stay in the backyard and there was a lot of smoking happening.
You know, when we did Europe, it was like this constant smoke. My throat is actually still fucked up from how much smoke was at that show. So much smoke at that show. It was pretty constant. I mean, it's great. You know, not telling people not to do it. Just don't stand next to me while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like stand 2 feet away from me at least, or something like that. Also, there was a great show because it was also almost a fight, which is great. I'm not saying we have to fight, but like the little potential for fight's kind of fun. It's like it's as close to Green Room as we get. So that show was a great show. Our good friends who work at who owns Zucchini Kill put on that show from So Unloved. Great fucking band in Austin. If you guys haven't checked them out, check out So Unloved. And our brother Trevor down in Austin also booked that show. So huge love to Trevor and the dudes over at Peyton House for putting on a great show. At one point in the show though, I'm in the backyard selling merch, and Nicole comes over to me. Inebriated, but still, you know, still like maintaining. And she's like, "Joey, you got to come up front." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "This is going to be a fight." I'm like, "Fuck." So I run up front, and our drummer Jerry is breaking down his gear. and he has a fucking, he has his, one of the cymbal stands next to his head, and he's ready to hit this guy in the face with a cymbal stand. And I was like, whoa, and I grab the cymbal stand, I grab it with my right arm, I'm like, Jerry, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to hit this guy. I'm like, do not, Jerry's huge. Jerry's like 6'3", a large man. If he hits this guy with a fucking drum stand, he is going to knock this fucker over. This guy, the guy who's in front of it, he's stumbling. He is wasted. He's been wasted since before the show started. He was wasted during our set. This is after our set. He's fucking drunk. Trevor called him the drunken cowboy because he was just like dressed like a cowboy.
Wasn't it pirate?
Oh, the pirate. Yeah, he was just like dressed like a pirate.
Wait, who's Trevor?
Trevor's the guy who did the show for us.
Oh, okay, cool.
So Trevor and I go up front to deal with this guy.
Beautiful bearded man, by the way.
He's a wonderful human being.
Beautiful bearded man.
And during our set, this pirate guy had been giving me shit. He was in my face the whole time, and I was fucking...
what are those drunk people? Oh, not even just, a fun drunk person.
Oh, no. He was miserable. Yeah, he was a prick.
Well, so I think he was upset at the time. Well... when the whole thing with Jerry happened, he was, like, upset. He was, like, out of the show, and they weren't letting him in. And, like, he was upset that, like, he gave money to somebody or, I don't know. He was just drunk and didn't know what he was talking about. But Jerry was trying to put his stuff away, and the guy kept standing over his drums and almost, like, falling onto them.
He kept falling into
him,
yeah.
Jerry kept saying, like, can you just, like, back up? We're just trying to put this away. And he's like, I'm not going to fall on your drums. I'm not going to fall on your drums. And then would stand there and almost fall into them again. That's where the whole...
And I walked up, and I grabbed Jerry's... the stand, but also the guy was drunk. So with my right hand, I grabbed Jerry's cymbal stand so he doesn't hit him in the face and kill this guy. Then we're dealing with a drunken pirate at a fucking in the middle of Austin, middle of the night. What the fuck are we gonna do with a drunken pirate in the middle of the night? I don't know.
Especially a not fun drunken pirate.
Oh yeah, I mean, dead drunken pirate either way is not fun. So then I grab him with my left hand and pull him back and like grab him by the belt from behind him and yank him back so he doesn't fall into the drums and he just tumbles over. And then Jerry comes up to me. He's like, yo, watch out. He's got a knife. And he's reaching for it, but I don't think he can pull his knife out.
Well, I mean, that's good. I mean, at least he wasn't drunk, like, drunk and then could pull his knife. But you want him drunk enough that he can't get a knife out.
I mean,
out.
I fucking would have been fine with him pulling his knife out. I was actually kind of excited about it.
Your grin's a little too big right now. It's a little scary.
I'm pretty excited about it. But Trevor's just like, yo, you got to go. And the guy's like, oh, and just walks away. So
there was a couple other tense moments, I think, right? Wasn't it at the vape shop or San Antonio?
Yeah, that one got, there was a little drama. Some people were threatening to, some people were saying inappropriate things. They were just saying like, you know, calling people, they're saying some homophobic shit to us and to our friends. And Days and Days, Jeff from Days and Days confronted him on it. And basically they were kicked out of the show for saying homophobic shit. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to leave. And so they stayed around to the end and they were like wanting to fight about it. And I was just waiting. So we just walked Days and Days out and I was like, yeah, well, we're going to stay here until you guys want to fight. And they didn't want
to
fight.
Joey always wants a fight.
I know.
He just is looking for a fight. That was like...
That's not true.
27 days of like holding him back and like just... All you got to do is grab his glasses, but it's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
Well now you tell everybody.
No, now you got to get my teeth too.
Oh.
Now I got some caps in my teeth. You got to grab my... Screw them back in. So grab my teeth and my glasses. No, I don't want to fight, but I don't want to let injustice go on.
Right.
So if something's going to be fucked up, I'm down to do what we got to do.
Your smile still is saying that you want to fight.
Christine's sitting in the background. She's not happy to hear this. All right. Speaking of fighting, let's talk about... We got a few minutes here. We're going to talk about this movie. We literally just finished watching Green Room, which is like... I don't even know when it came out. Maybe 2015, 2016.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but...
It was like a borderline indie film.
On DVD or...
Yeah. Borderline indie film. And the premise, Lauren, what would you say the premise of the movie is? How would you lay out the premise here?
So it's this touring band. They get screwed out of a show. They actually are playing at like a pizza place maybe. And so they...
No, it's okay. So they're playing at a shitty bar. And they got hooked up with like a last minute show. And the last minute show just like ends up being at a Nazi club.
Yeah, because they can't get back across country. So, like, they don't want to play at a Nazi club. The only reason they're doing it is because they need money, essentially, to get across country.
They're pretty okay with playing the show. I don't know. Fuck these kids.
Well, yeah, they didn't have too many qualms. Yeah, so yeah. It was hard to feel bad for them throughout it because they knew what they signed up for.
Yeah.
And then they still played for Nazis.
They start off their set playing Nazi Punks Fuck Off by the Kennedys, which is great, but they're still playing behind like swastikas and Aryan Brotherhood banners. Like, it's clearly a Nazi venue. Everyone in the show is pretty much Nazis or sympathizers.
This wasn't even like... It was overt Nazi.
Yeah,
like, there was nothing subtle about how Nazi-ish it was.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, you're definitely playing to all a bunch like, of skinhead, Nazi skinheads.
And it was like a compound. So, like, I mean, when they rolled up, they should have just turned around at that point.
Just like, so these punk, the premise of the movie is these punks are on tour. They play a last show, a last minute show at a basically Nazi compound. And then while they're there and like after their set, they're about to leave and they sort of see a crime happen and they're witnesses. And basically these Nazis don't want to let the witnesses live. That's the premise. We might give some spoilers for the rest. There's no spoilers yet, but there might be spoilers. And that's on the back of the box, so that's you know, that's the premise of the movie. The premise of the movie is these guys are going to get killed by Nazis and basically have to fight their way. They have to get out of the situation. And I, you know, to me, it was a terrible movie. I don't know. I mean, I was avoiding watching this film for a long time. Everybody I know, all the guys in Leftover Crack, everyone was just like, yo, Joey, you should see this movie. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. And I'm like, man, that does not sound good. That
sounds like
sounds...
an actual nightmare, especially for a touring band. At least you watched it right after you got back from tour and not before tour.
Yeah, bands out there, do not watch this movie before you go on tour. Or maybe you should, actually.
Yeah, it could be like a warning. Like, if you're thinking about playing at a Nazi venue, this is what's going to happen, so don't play at any Nazi venues.
You know, if you need like a warning to not play at Nazi venues, I guess this is good for you to listen, look at.
Yeah.
I guess this is a good reason to be not for fence sitters, but I mean, this is my nightmare. Like, you know, a bunch of good friends are like, "Oh, Joe, it's no big deal. You just got to be careful who you play with." I'm like, I know. We're fucking careful who we play with and where we play, but one time we were in Austria, all torn up playing in Austria. Oh no, it wasn't Austria. It was Hungary. It was Hungary. And we played at a venue. It was a cool venue. But next door, there was an all skinhead, like, after hours thing.
Ooh.
And it was sketchy as fuck. And I was sleeping by myself outside the venue in the middle of the woods, like, in my mind, surrounded by skinheads. And it was unpleasant. And if I had seen this movie before I had done that, I absolutely would have, like, over-exaggerated and killed someone who did not deserve to die, and it would have been horrible. So, to me, this was a horrible movie. I wish I had never watched it. It was just terrible. But I could be wrong.
Well, there was some surprises for me. I didn't know Oh, my God, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. This is why you don't drink before a fucking podcast.
Wow.
What are you saying?
The actress in the movie, I actually know her from a previous movie I worked on, and she's red as fuck, so I want to say you should watch it for check her out. Allie Skullcat.
Skullcat?
I can't say her name pronounced, you know.
Allie. Yeah, you should know her as Allie.
Aaliyah.
Allie or Aaliyah. Aaliyah's dead, I think. I feel like this is a...
I know you say you're going to cut that up, but you should really cut that whole thing out.
Yeah, definitely going to cut it out. It was a girl from Arrested Development.
Yeah, the girl from Arrested Development.
Yeah, Hermione from Arrested Development.
No.
Maybe. I don't think maybe is her name.
Yeah, Hermione, yeah.
Hermione.
No, that...
Pretty sure.
Yeah, no, she was cool. so I want to say that I was a present supplies to see her on that movie because she was so cool. Anyways, sorry.
Don't worry. That's definitely going to stay in the podcast for sure. Don't worry about that.
Wow.
What did you think of it, Nicole?
I don't think it was that good, honestly. Like, yeah. It wasn't that scary, I don't feel like.
Really? Because I was visibly shaking the entire time. Christine even mentioned while we were watching it, she thought I was going to throw up from tears and fear. Like, I was terrified. Like, that is my vision of a nightmare.
Yeah, the dogs are kind of scary. There are some dogs in the movie, and... I do not want to meet these dogs.
Yeah, they're pretty vicious dogs.
Well, I mean, they were trained like fighter dogs. Like, at one point, they even said, well, we can't let two of them in there because they're just going to fight each other.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool how they got rid of the dogs. And that was cool. You got to say that.
I don't have any idea. Oh, yeah. No, that's an unpleasant spoiler. We don't want to give that away. I feel like that's pretty... There's something... You learned some new things in here.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I feel like you learned some new lessons.
Survival tips at a SS party.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
In case you're thinking about going to one, like...
Well, you never know. I mean, you get, you know...
I just feel like the whole thing was unavoidable. Like, that's why I didn't really enjoy the movie. It just seemed like you know, like any other, like, you know, semi-scary movie, you would just, like, want to tell them, like, what are you thinking? Like, why are you going in there? But this, they had so many options of just not going to this venue, not playing Nazi punks fuck off, maybe just, you know, not playing at all once they saw how sketchy it was. Like, right when they got there, one of the guys was, like, super aggressive to them.
Grabbed
them
by the throat right away.
Yeah, like, you know, they're already getting insane threats before they even go on. And they decide, like, to piss them off. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, you don't have anything to, like, fight them back with. Like, yeah, it's just kind of, like, the ignorance or maybe thinking, like, nothing's going to happen to them, but there were so many chances to turn around.
That's true. It's a pretty good metaphor of, like, our society in that, thinking that, like, oh, well, whatever, we're not political, it's not going to matter, no big deal. Like, they were even warned when they booked the show. They're like, oh, there's some right-wing skinheads, no big deal, not a problem, just don't talk politics with them. Like, all right, well, that situation, done. Don't play the show.
Yeah.
This is not your scene. You know, unless you're going in there to fuck them up or change their minds, there's really no reason to go into that situation.
And they literally drove there. Like, they had to drive, like, out of their way to this venue from another venue. And so it's just, there were so many chances to turn around.
And this is another reason why, like, younger punks need to be aware of the situation, because there's tags everywhere around it. Like, they did a pretty good job of getting the details right, like, in the touring van for the fucking... If anyone watches the first 5 minutes of the movie, I feel like you get a pretty good synopsis of, like, what it's like to be in a touring van. You know, fucking people just laying everywhere, fucked up.
Kind of like stuck in Sisters, Oregon in the middle of the night. And
fucking
it's
Brothers, Idaho.
Yeah. Idaho. No, it's Oregon.
We almost died in Brothers, Idaho in a very similar situation at the beginning of the film. But it's also a good lesson for younger bands to know the signs and symbols of right-wing organizations, because they're all over the club. Like, you see 88s there, you see Aryan Brotherhood tags, you see some real fucking real nasty swastika shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's some obvious ones, but then there's some more subtle ones. So I think it really is. Yeah, well, yeah.
Somebody
did their homework, whoever made this.
Art department, thank you. Yeah, you did a good job.
There's a lot of little details going on in there for people to check out. And these are all little things that people should not, you know, you see when you walk in, you see the first thing you see is like SS, SS. And it's like, okay, that's it. Out. See you later. Mm-hmm. Done. You know, no more here. So those are good. We played a show in my mind, similar situation. We played in Dresden, Germany with Leftover Crack, all torn up with Leftover Crack. And we were there. We were warned not to go to Dresden because we're an anti-fascist band and with All Torn Up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We were warned not to go because it's a very right-wing town. Mm. The hooligans, the soccer supporters there are very, very, very right-wing. There's a lot of Nazis there. It's all over Europe, but this is especially like a bad place. Dresden's especially a bad place. We were trying to play Leipzig, and people from Leipzig were like, yo, don't play Dresden. Mm-hmm. Like, no good. Leipzig's the left-wing area. Dresden's the right-wing area. And there was a soccer game going on. It was a whole bad situation.
Oh, yeah.
We set up our merch, and a bunch of people come up to me, and they're like, yo, you guys shouldn't be here. This is not the place to play. Like, this is going to be bad. Then a bunch of skinheads come in. I'm like, fuck. So I go downstairs, and I
kick. So that could have been you in the movie. Like, you got all the warnings. You were still there. Still saw skinheads, and I'm guessing still played.
I checked out the venue real carefully. There was nothing in the venue that said that there was a Nazi place. So I went downstairs and I kicked two bricks out of the wall and went upstairs, and we had a bunch of weapons with us. Nothing illegal, but we had some weapons with us. And we set them up on the fucking, we set up the play, put the weapons out, and I'm like, listen, we're going to start off with No Pasaran, which is an anti-fascist song. It's very clearly anti-fascist. It's about killing Nazis. We're going to start off there, and we're going to see how this goes. So I take my mic stand, and I set up my mic stand like right at the front of the stage, and I take two bricks in my hands, and I'm like, listen, this song's about killing Nazis. Anyone got a problem with that? And the crowd's kind of like dead, not applauding. They're just dead.
They're like, we don't know what to say. All right. Don't know who else is going to, you know, have a problem with it.
Well, let's see how this goes. Yeah. So we play the song and people clap at the end. I'm like, all right, cool. That's good. But I was ready to go. You know, if you're going to sing Nazi punks fuck off in a room full of Nazis, you better be ready to kill some fucking Nazis.
Yeah, that's just where I didn't get it too. Like, they went just without anything and they were outnumbered like
10 to 1.
Yeah, at least.
Definitely.
Yeah, so just have weapons with you if you're going to sing to a bunch of Nazis.
Maybe we should make the opposite of that movie. Like, you know, punks go to a venue and then just kill all the Nazis.
Ooh.
Well, they did kill some Nazis.
They did, but they were backed into a corner. They were backed into a corner, you know. They didn't want to do it. They weren't. They wanted to fucking walk out.
Well, it would it would have to be the other way. The Nazis would have to come into like a regular venue.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Well, I don't think another version of this movie should be made, honestly.
Well, Lauren, what's your you break it down for us. What do you think? Do you think this is a good movie or not a good movie?
That was mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to watch it again, but I'm happy I watched it. I would say, you know, I think it's good for, you know, people in the scene to watch it, especially the younger ones that you were, you know, talking about before, people in touring bands. Like, you know, it's ridiculous. The whole, like, you know, the ending of it and, you know, all the way through. Like, you know, it's made to be a scary movie.
Yeah.
Like, maybe something that bad won't happen, but, you know, nothing good is going to come from mixing with those kind of crowds.
For sure. Well, unless they die, in which case, I guess it's not too bad.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's our lukewarm review of Green Room. Watch it or don't watch it, but either way, kill some Nazis.
It's it's an excellent date movie, though. You know, it's a good first date.
First date.
Yeah.
You want
to see if your date is pro-Nazi.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of questions answered if you watch that with her. You know.
If she sees the SS thing, she's like, oh, sweet. May want to swipe left or something like that. Swipe right. I don't know which one it goes.
I think you've already swiped if you're on a date.
Whoa.
Right?
Online dater over here.
I don't actually know.
I've just heard stories.
You can't delete your date once you're with them?
Yeah, you know. What? Right,
so you can't just push them right out of the seat?
Right is bad, left is good.
Yeah. Right is bad, always. Right is bad, left is good.
Moral of the whole
That's the fucking
podcast.
Whole moral of the story, dude. Yeah, obviously. Get down. We played a show in L.A. with a ton of really great bands, and my good friend Wade with the Braid, he's a brother from another mother. I love him so much, and he is in his band called Lady Hump, and I could not find any music from Lady Hump when I looked online. I may have just made a mistake, and if so, I will rectify that by playing Lady Hump very often on a very, very near future episode. But I wanted to play, and there was this great band that played that show in L.A. At the 5-Star Bar called Rhode Island Slut. I know the name turned me off a little bit. It's a Dumb and Dumber reference, which I did not know beforehand, and I was a little worried it was going to be kind of a misogynistic band, but the band was very conscious and really fucking good, and I could not find any music from this band. So if anybody out there knows Rhode Island Slut from L.A., please send me tunes, or please tell these musicians that I thought they were. I told them at the show, but I couldn't find any music from them. So please tell them I want some of their tunes. Rhode Island Slut from L.A., and Lady Hump from L.A., from the L.A. area. Both incredible bands. I'm not going to be playing them because I couldn't find any tunes from them for this show, hopefully in the near future. But I will play this band that organized the show for us. This is Corrupted Youth from Los Angeles. Nacho, the lead singer from Corrupted Youth, my other band All Torn Up played with in England, and I was blown away. They were fucking fantastic. Super great sound, almost like I don't know if this is insulting to Nacho and the guys, but it's almost like catchy, poppy, like DB. And I really fucking dug it. It sounded really, really good. And they're all incredible musicians. And they are absolutely one of my favorite bands now. And so honored that Nacho put this show on for us, despite the fact that he had not heard us before. So much love to Nacho and the other bands that he had on this show. This is Corrupted Youth from Los Angeles. Thanks again, Nacho. Get down.
Coming for you.
All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank Ryan and Nicole. A huge thank you to Ryan and Nicole for taking a month out of their life and going with me across the country on this tour. They weren't even playing with us. They helped us every single day. Ryan's an incredible photographer. He's got a ton of great footage from these shows and photographs from these shows. So he will be putting together something with those in the very near future. You can follow them on social media. I think Nicole's Instagram is Boomy Toast or something like that. And they're in a bunch of pictures on Skullcaster's page. So if you go to Skullcaster NYC on Instagram, you could find Ryan and Nicole's pictures and follow them. And Ryan is Imperial Rye. Anyway, they got a bunch of incredible photographs. They're both incredibly talented people, and I love them very much. And I can't say enough about how much I appreciate them taking time out of their life and just traveling with me. I had a really great time. I don't know if you guys catch this through the show, but I can sometimes be somewhat difficult, and my good friends are often the people who bear the brunt of that, and these two were with me for an entire month of me screaming and yelling and having fun, but mostly it's me screaming and yelling, so I deeply appreciate their camaraderie and commiseration and support and help, so thank you guys so much. I had a blast. I also want to say thanks to Lauren for doing the show with us. She traveled a little bit of a ways after not really getting any sleep and doing this show in the brand new year here in New York City. And I really appreciate Lauren. She's going to be doing a lot more here with Dispatches, so you can expect to hear her voice a lot more on the show. Thank you very much, Lauren. Thank you, everybody out there who continues to tune in and continues to spread this show. We have no advertising budget. This show exists only because people out there support it. If you didn't want to hear it, we wouldn't do it anymore. So please continue. If you can make a donation, great. If not, I get it. We all are being beat down by capitalism. Please take time to rate it on iTunes and spread it around the internet. Share it. Share every episode. Let people know that you dig it and that you continue to listen. That's the only way other people are going to find out about it. And you know, here's one thing about the DIY culture that I don't like. That I think all too often, punks out there don't want other people to get down with us. We think it's like something secret and sacred that we're supposed to keep that other people can't learn about. Yeah, if they get down with us, they might get down and ruin it a little bit. They might try to make it something different. I'm willing to deal with that danger. I just think that way too often, we keep it to ourselves and not spread it. And honestly, the more people, the merrier. I think that's what the underground really is all about. Is getting people down with us, confronting their fucked up ideas, confronting our fucked up ideas with their ideas, and hopefully coming through something better and stronger and more amazing. To me, that's what this is all about. That's why I do this podcast, and hopefully you all can get down with that side of DIY, push the shit out, and break this like code of silence that we keep to ourselves. So if you dig it, promote it. If not, I get it. It's all good. Continue to listen, and I will see you all next episode, which will air in about 2 weeks. So make sure you subscribe on dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Stay in touch with us. Holler at us. Let us know what you're thinking, issues you had with it. Maybe you liked Green Room and I didn't. We'll talk about that. Message us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to get a hold of us, or on any of the social media ways that you you follow Dispatches. And we'll see you in a couple weeks. Till then, get down. I want to play a tune from my band, Skullcaster. That's the band whose tour we've been talking about on this episode. I want to say thank you to Callum and Jerry and Jason and the band for not only putting up with me, but coming up with these great tunes that we've been playing. I love these tunes. They're fucking amazing to play, and I'm so excited that while we were playing throughout the country, people gave us such a positive response. People really had some great feedback, and I'm super appreciative of that. We do have a new album that you can get on our Dispatches merch page. You can get all of our tunes for free on our Bandcamp page, but we have extended versions on a CD that you can get on my Dispatches merch page. So go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com and there's a merch section, and you can find that CD that has the extended versions, or you can go to skullcasternyc.bandcamp.com. That's Skullcaster, C-A-S-T-E-R, Caster, nyc.bandcamp.com, and you can check out all the tunes you want for free. Here is a tune from Skullcaster that we're going to play right now. So here's Skullcaster. Get down.
Trapped in time forever.
want to end this episode with a little taste of what will be on the next episode. This is a band called Ground Score. Jay Crash from this band is an incredible human being. He's in a great band called Dirty Kid Discount, which is how I know Jay. I had not heard Ground Score prior to going out to Portland and playing with these guys. But they not only put out a great fucking record, an absolutely incredible record, but their live show is fucking spectacular, and I cannot believe they were able to capture that sound and do it live as well as on the record, because it seems extremely complicated to do those vocals in a punk band where you really can't hear the vocalists that well, and they do it super fucking well. So make sure, if Ground Score comes near you, you should absolutely see them. They were fantastic. And we're going to be doing a whole episode with Kevin and Jay from Ground Score on the next Dispatch from the Underground episode. So the next time you tune in to listen to Dispatches, you're going to hear a lot more from this band, and they have a ton of great stuff to say. So here's a little taste for the next episode. Here's a band from Portland, Oregon called Ground Score. Get down.
I blame myself. I should not have sent a punk to do a ninja's job.
Look at the game, look at the fun, look at the wins and losers, this man, this stuff. Try to be tame, try to be wise. The life we live is gonna be the way we die, the way we die. You say your 30s is when you become yourself. Trials and tribulations raining on your shelf. Fruition of the choice to be what you want to be. But just the way life's doing good after you win.
Everything you've ever wanted is all your name. Seem to come your way.